Okay. All right, continuing in Shar Hakina over here, we're up to Mashlu Mashal. So I think that's what we're up to. So the Aruch HaSadikim writes, Mashlu Mashal, Chazal gave it, or someone gave a Mashal, Chomid V'Kanai Holcha Yachtav Aderech. You have someone who is a covetous person and someone who is a jealous person that go together, are traveling together on the road, and Pagabahem Melech Echad, and they come across a Melech. Every Mashal has a Melech, so there's a Melech in this one as well. So Amalem HaMelech, the king says to the Chomid and the Kanai, the Kanai over here does not mean Kanai in the sense of a Kanai for the Dvar Hashem or something like that. We're not referring to a right-wing kind of person, we're just referring to someone who's a jealous person. So you have a jealous person and a covetous person, not clear exactly what the difference is between the two. They're going on the road and they see a king, and the king says to them, Echon mikem yishal davrim yimeni, v'yinasino, ulechaveru bikiflayim. He says, I'll make you a deal. One of you can ask me for whatever it is that you want, and I'll be happy to give it to you. I'll provide you with exactly what you want, but whatever you ask for, I'm going to give the other guy double. So Hakanai lo ratzel lishol tchila. The Kanai didn't want to ask first because shayim eskanei minasin lechaver pekeflayim. Because if he asks for $100 and then his friend gets $200, you know he's going to be very jealous and it's going to eat him up that he only got half of what his friend got. And the Chomid also wanted a double portion. He didn't want to be left with only half of what his friend got. So the Sof dachak haChomid es haKanai lishol tchila. Finally, the Chomid gets the Kanai to ask first. He said, "You ask first. You got them fighting back and forth. You ask first." So as shala Kanai lenakar lo ayin achas. So the Chaveru shtayim. So he says, "Poke out one of my eyes." And that way, his friend had both eyes poked out, and therefore he wasn't at all jealous. So it sounds ridiculous, right? So what's the idea? I think the idea is that when a person is jealous of other people, he ends up becoming a self-defeating person. He ends up shooting himself in the foot. He ends up hurting himself just so he can see the other person suffer as well, or just so that he won't have to suffer the anguish of seeing somebody else with greater success than he has, because that's his very nature. Is he can't take he can't be sameach b'chelko because he's always looking at everybody else's chelek, even to the point that it's self-defeating. Sometimes you have people who are in an argument. Unfortunately, this sometimes happens with messy divorces, where people will go through their entire, they'll empty their entire bank account to fight and to fight and to fight just to make the other one suffer, even though they know that at the end of the day, they're going to be left with nothing. Meaning they're not going to have, the only people that are going to be rich are the lawyers. And both of them are going to end up with nothing just as a way of trying to make the other person suffer. And that's what happens when a person is too concerned about the other person, and they're not concerned about their own well-being and about what they can have and what brachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. Kamaraos tulius b'kinah. Look at all the terrible things that come about because of kinah. Nachash hakadmoni niskani ba'adam arishon v'garam yisaliyolam. The nachash hakadmoni, the very first avera, happened because of kinah, because the nachash was jealous of Adam arishon, and that's what brought misa into the world. Va'alav nigzar al gachon chateleich va'afar tochal. And therefore, for all of eternity, the nachash has to crawl on his belly and he eats from the dirt. V'chein rei ma'ira l'kayim l'kayim. I mean, read through Tanakh. All the people who suffered really terribly ended up suffering because their kinah got the best of them. That Bilam Shuma Ayin and Korach, and all these characters were all a result of jealousy. That they looked at what wasn't theirs. Lo dai masha bikshu lo nita lahem. So not only did they not get what they were hoping to get, but they lost everything in the process. If a person tries to make it his life's mission to get that which isn't his, that which is not rightfully his, and he's always looking at everybody else and looking at their success and trying to see how he can have their success, he's going to lose whatever it is that he has. Mikol Eila Yilmad Adam Sheyifrosh Menakina Umenachemda. And therefore a person can learn should learn to stay far away from coveting that which belongs to other people, from being jealous of other people. V'yachshov ki afilu masha biyado eino shelo. And you should realize that whatever it is that we have, it's not really ours to begin with. Ki machar ba ve'eino. It could come tomorrow that we won't have whatever it is that we think we have a chazaka on. I think we discussed last week, Rav Yerucham Elshin quotes that Beis Halevi, that people often have the assumption that what I have is mine, and that's Kadosh Baruch Hu could decide to, and whatever I don't have, the default is that I don't have. And Kadosh Baruch Hu could decide to give it to me, to give me that which I don't have, or to take away that which I have. But that would be a decision already, because there's already chazaka. But Beis Halevi pointed out that that's not the way it works. That Kadosh Baruch Hu each and every day decides: do you still deserve oxygen to breathe? Do you still deserve your faculties to work? Do you still deserve your family? Do you still deserve all of your home, all of the brachas that you have in your life? And each and every day, that decision is made. There's no default. There's no automatic. There's no, and when something, and basically in the context of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not like many generations ago, we lost the Beis. Some people did terrible things, terrible averos in Aschinim, Avod Zorgi, L'Rashid, Zdam, Chil Shabbos, whatever it is. You go through all the Ma'amari Chazal about why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because they did terrible things, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we just haven't earned it back. No, Chazal tell us, Kol Mishlo Nivna Beis HaMikdash B'yamav, it's Kilu Hu Charvo. It's as if he himself has destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Because it's not about earning it back. The default position is we have the Beis HaMikdash. If we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, it means we earned its destruction. There's no given, there's no automatic in life that you just automatically have things. Nothing can ever be taken for granted. I was just listening on the way up, an interview with Rav Aaron Lapiansky, Shlita. When Rav Lapiansky was saying on the Headlines podcast, Ari Wasserman hosted this week, it was fascinating. It was about Mashiach. So he interviewed the Chozer for the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he interviewed Rav Lapiansky, and he interviewed Rabbi Breidowitz from Rosh. Very fascinating stuff. So anyway, so Rav Lapiansky said that he knows a guy who was a brilliant, brilliant guy. A Ben Torah, a religious person who was in like a Ivy League school, and very, very high achieving, brilliant, brilliant guy. And then he suffered some sort of terrible accident. He got into some awful accident where physically he was hurt for a while, but ultimately he physically recovered. So his body is back in normal shape, but his mentally he never fully recovered. And he's now like, the way Rav Lapiansky said, he's like a B-minus student in a community college. You know, that's where his brain is. From someone from top Ivy League kind of person to a B-minus student in a community college. Now, being a B-minus student in a community college is not the end of the world. There are people that live productive lives and are happy and are fine when they're a B-minus student in a community college. But he's smart enough to remember what he was. He remembers what he used to be. He remembers how sharp his brain used to be. He remembers how quickly he used to be able to absorb information. And that leads him to tremendous depression. To know that he used to have what he used to have, or that he used to have something, and that it was taken away. And that's the reality. The reality is that whatever it is that we have, it's not really ours to keep, necessarily. It's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu could decide each and every day whether it's ours or not. So we're best off, instead of focusing on that which we don't have, instead of focusing on that which other people have, to focus on the brachos that we do have and be grateful for them each and every day. Umay yoilo she'enu shelo. What is something that's not yours? What's it going to help you? The pasuk in Mishlei, we don't know what the next day is going to bring. We have no idea what the future holds, and therefore we're best off living in the present, appreciating the present, appreciating the brachos that we have in the here and now. And to the contrary, when you appreciate what you have in the here and now, because Baruch Hu sees that you appreciate it. And in general, when someone shows hakaras hatov for something, even in human interactions, if you do something nice for a person and they express hakaras hatov, it makes you want to continue to do that nice thing for them, because you're acknowledging that you're happy with it and that it means something to you, and therefore builds that kind of relationship. Sachar gadol yesh la'adam hanizar minakina u'minachemda. There's great reward for a person who's careful about jealousy and about coveting that which isn't his. Ki berov ha'averos im adam over aleihen u'misbayish u'monea asmo b'shvil habusha. By the majority of averos, if a person violates the averos and he's embarrassed and he therefore doesn't do it because he's embarrassed, that will prevent him from violating these averos, from stealing, from the meaning. Most people, as much as we say that it's good to be self-motivated and it's very important to have yir shemayim and to have a constant knowledge that there's an ayin roa, there's an ozen shemas, there's, you know, a constant knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching. At the end of the day, we've discussed this before, most of us do not have the inner fortitude to always behave just based on Yirat Shamayim alone. There is a certain healthy social pressure. Social pressure could sometimes be unhealthy also, but there is a certain healthy social pressure in being among people who would disrespect us if we did the wrong things. Meaning, if we were Mechal Shabbos, if we didn't daven properly, there's healthy pressure in knowing that to fit in socially, I have to be a firm person. I have to be a good person. I have to do the right thing. And if I don't do the right thing, then I'm not going to, I'm going to be an outcast. So that helps a person because he doesn't want it to be known that he did something terrible. Because Baye should be very embarrassed. The opposite harbe, and there's nothing worse than embarrassment. People struggle terribly when they're embarrassed. Avala kina v'achemda hin b'leiv. The thing is about kina and chemda, no one will ever know. And it's not, it's the kind of avera that a person could do, and no one will ever catch on. It's or at least you don't think anyone will ever catch on, because it's completely in your own heart. Ein adam makir bo im yachmod o yikane. Vu davar masul lev. It's completely up to us. Well, zenema, and that's why the pasuk says, yoresem elokecha. Meaning all action-based averos are averos that, if put in the right context, you should be able to avoid based on social pressure alone. But a taiva based avera, an avera that's not that the taiva itself is the avera. See, a person has a taiva to steal. A person has a taiva to commit sins of arayos. A person has a taiva to be mechal Shabbos. So the taiva is not out there in the public. Only the action, if it ever comes to it, is out there to be seen. But the taiva is not out there. The taiva is not seen by anybody. So, but the taiva is not really the avera. The avera is the action. Adrabba. Sometimes you have a taiva for these things, and you overcome the taiva. So it's a greater schar that you overcome such a yetzer hara. But by kina, by losach mode, the taiva itself is the avera. The isser is that it could be that the shear of the taiva is only if you have you're so chomed someone else's stuff that you actually start manipulating the situation to try to get them to sell it to you or to give it to you. It could be that's the shear, but the isser is the taiva itself. So the actual isser is something that no one can ever see you doing. It's not something that anyone can ever catch you doing. And therefore, it relies heavily on Yirat Shamayim. It relies heavily on V'yareisa Melokecha. There is a certain power to that. Meaning, like we said, if our entire lives had to be based on Yirat Shamayim alone, and we had to do the right thing purely based on Yirat Shamayim, the sad reality is that most of us would fail in a lot of ways that we're otherwise succeeding nowadays. I mean, there are a lot of things that we're doing right, but if we were not in a proper chevra, we were not in a proper environment, we were not in a proper yeshiva, the sad reality is that most of us would not be as good as we are. We would fail in a lot of other things. And therefore, it's very, very helpful to have a proper environment, proper chevra, proper yeshiva, proper mentors, and a healthy fear of what would happen if we did the wrong thing. That's all true. But it is empowering to have at least something in your life that is purely Yirat Shamayim. meaning to have at least something in your life that nobody else will ever know about, that nobody else is ever going to give you props for, no one's ever going to give you credit for it, no one's ever going to criticize or compliment, and it's purely between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's purely a you, Ribono Shel Olam, relationship. It's a very uplifting thing. It's a very empowering thing for a person to have, to feel that, that you know, at least here, at least in this one area, it's just me and the Ribono Shel Olam. And again, it wouldn't work if it was every area of life, but there is a V'yareisa Melokecha in Los Achmud, and that's a very helpful thing. You know, like sometimes people will say, Yeshiva Baruch will say, you know, I'm not going to learn Night Seder in the Beis Medrash. I'm like secretly, quietly in my room, I'm going to learn Night Seder because I don't want, you know, to be one of these competition who gets to say the latest in the Beis Medrash or whatever. No, I'm like totally not affected by peer pressure, so I'm going to learn privately in my room. That is a terrible idea, right? I mean, you're not going to learn privately in your room. I mean, Netflix maybe, but you're not going to learn. Privately in your room. That's not going to happen for very long. I mean, there needs to be a certain amount of social pressure for that. But maybe after you leave the Beis Medrash, 5 minutes later, privately in your room, something. Meaning, maybe just a little something, just to have something in life, some chesed that you do that just nobody has to know about, like a chesed that's mamish. You don't tell anybody, no one in the world knows about that particular chesed. Meaning, we should look for things in our life that could be just between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not too much, because if the core things, the behaviors that we need to have are completely reliant on our Yiras Shamayim, we're playing a very risky game. But to have something, That everything shouldn't be about the social environment. There should be something that's just between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we do. Some act of chesed, some act of piety, something that we do that is just not seen by anybody else in the entire world. And that's, you know, if you do something like that, it really could be the mitzvah that makes you feel best of all the mitzvahs you do throughout the entire day. You know, it's nice to get compliments. It's nice when people notice and when people are mechabit. Everyone loves a little bit of kavod. But there's nothing that's as inspiring, self-inspiring, as having that little thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your little secret with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you're doing a mitzvah that maybe other people aren't aware of. Okay, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Afal Pi Shakinu.